Q Images. It's a world-class, veteran-owned and operated Las Vegas-based photography company. Whether you need on-site or in-studio or on-location photography, be prepared to receive top-notch, innovative, and high-level professionalism from Q Images. While other photographers take photos, Q Images captures moments and creates memories. So go to qimages.smugmug.com or Instagram at Q_UE_images. Again, that is at Q_UE_images. Make sure you go and check them out. Tell them we sent you from the Help Myself podcast. And when you see the fly visuals, know that Q Images had a hand in it. Check them out. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Help Myself podcast. I am your host, John M. Singletary Sr. Listen, I got to put that senior in there because I got my junior, a.k.a. LJ. That's my co-pilot. That's who I do it with, and that's who I do it for in this amazing game we call podcasting and this wonderful thing that we call life. Listen, this month is Women History Month, and I am excited to have some amazing guests to come on the show and tell us about all the amazing things that we are doing. So it's all about the ladies this month. And our first guest is Naima Ford-Golson, a certified professional organizer. And let me tell you, you're definitely going to enjoy her story. There's so much more to her than that, but she has an amazing list of accomplishments, an amazing personality, and she has some amazing advice for getting our life organized. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am excited to have our first guest for Women History Month. Let me give her an introduction. I'll let her introduce herself, but I'm going to attempt to try to pack all of this stuff she has on her resume into this introduction. But we have the privilege and the honor today of having Naima Ford-Golson of Organize Me Radio. She's a certified professional organizer and owner of Restore Order Professional Organizing. She's also the founder and executive director of the National Association for Black Professional Organizers and a member of the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. She's an organizing expert that has appeared on local and national television and print media. She's written for Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, and New York Mag, just to name a few. And she's also appeared on The Drew Barrymore Show and AOL's Extreme Organizers. And again, that is only a few of the many accomplishments. So I introduce to most of you and present to some Naima Ford-Golson. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here with you.
I'm excited to have you here. Did I catch everything in the intro?
Yeah, it was good. I loved it.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to make sure because that's an expansive and impressive resume. There's just more to it. Like, sometimes you just don't know that you are standing in the presence of royalty. So, you know, it is definitely my honor. I'll tell y'all, we'll get into the interview, but me and Naima are part of a speakers network together, and she put out a call for guests for her podcast, and I saw it, and it just resonated with me. Organize Me Radio, and everybody knows I'm a pretty organized guy, but I don't know. You know, I just shot my shot, and she had me on, and I tell you what, it was an amazing experience, and just thoroughly impressed with your brand, with your personality, with everything that you're willing to share, all the things that you've done, and again, like I said, it's just an honor to have you on the show today, so thank you for agreeing, and I want to get started with the good stuff. What got you into professional organizing?
All right. So first of all, thank you. Thank you for being a guest on my podcast. You are one of my favorite guests to have, and you too have a great personality. And it was just really fun. You're so dynamic and energetic. So I really appreciated that. I loved the episode. And I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that, you know, we get to connect again. So
yes, ma'am.
This is fun. So how did I get started in professional organizing? So You know, I have a background in media, actually. When I went to school, I studied broadcast journalism with a minor in Black Studies. And so what I thought I was going to do was I thought I was going to work in radio. I initially wanted to work in, you know, like play music. I wanted to have like a midnight love show. Something along those lines. I love music. R&B in particular. I'm a crazy 90s fan.
Come on now. Like, come on. Is there anything else other than 90s R&B?
There really isn't. Like, the 90s had the best grooves, just the best music, the best singers. Like, it was just a well-rounded decade. So I thought I was going to be, you know, working at a radio station from like, I don't know, 6 p.m. to midnight on air with my little midnight love show. And so that was my hope. That was my goal. That's what I wanted to do. And then what I was thinking was I do that. And then later on, when I decide I don't want to be in the media anymore, then maybe I'll teach Black Studies in college or something along those lines. That was my plan, you know, when I left college, right? So what I did was I was living in Nebraska. I went to school at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. That's where my family lives. I'm actually originally from Staten Island, New York, but I moved to Nebraska when I was 10.
Whoa, I know. That is a... I've been to both. I've been to Staten Island, and yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Omaha hanging out in the great restaurants in North Omaha. So I'm familiar with Omaha. Yeah. That's a culture shock.
It is a culture shock. Now, I'm glad you didn't say Omaha has Black people, because that's usually what I get.
I know quite a few people from Omaha. I have lots of friends. Yeah, I'm familiar with
Omaha. So people who aren't familiar with Omaha, yes, there are Black people. Omaha, Nebraska is smack dab in the middle of the map. It's not Oklahoma. It's Omaha, Nebraska. And Malcolm X was born there. So I always tell people that when they ask, are there Black people there? I'm like, hey, one of the greats was born in Omaha, Nebraska, you know? So I graduated from college. I didn't want to be in Omaha anymore. When we moved there, I didn't really want to move. I didn't want the change and everything. So throughout like middle school, high school, college, my goal was always to get back to New York. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to move back to New York. But after I graduated, my dad made a suggestion. He was like, you know, I didn't really know like how I was going to get my start. And he was like, oh, why don't you move to Atlanta and work for CNN? Now, I didn't want to do news radio at the time. I didn't want to do news, but I thought, okay, that's something I can do. Maybe I'll go to Atlanta for a couple of years and then I'll go to New York. So moved to Atlanta. I got my foot in the door working for the CNN tour, which is more like kind of a marketing PR kind of, you know, kind of deal, public speaking. And then I met my husband while we were working at the CNN tour. And I guess, you know, that kind of taking a detour and going to Atlanta, that kind of just changed my plans completely.
That was a very important detour you took right there.
Like, it completely changed my plans. I moved on to CNN Radio. I worked there for about a year, part-time as a radio editor. I realized news was not for me. I already knew that news wasn't for me. Like, I don't like hard news, but it just kind of confirmed that news was not for me. And then I just, you know, kind of like bounced around. I worked for Radio Disney, which was a drastic change from working for CNN, right? I worked in their promotions department. And then I worked at Cox Media. So for Cox, what I did was, it was the production side of ad sales. So I would watch commercials throughout the different Cox markets. And I was basically the quality control person. So I had to make sure the audio was good, the video was good. I had to make sure that there wasn't any like lewd content or cursing or anything like that. And it was good to go out on the air. And while I worked at Cox, that's when I got pregnant with my first child. And the pregnancy was awful. I had so many different issues. So I was a lot smaller, and I think it was like a shock to my system. So when I got pregnant, I was 120 pounds. Now, throughout my like young adult life, I would hang between 110 and 128 pounds. So I was like small, like just tiny. I was tiny, like pretty much most of my life.
And I feel a way about that because I weighed 120 at a point in high school. I feel a way about that. And I'm 6 feet tall. So I'm like, come on now. That ain't that small. Stop that.
But yeah, but you know, I was small. And my son, to put it into perspective, my son is 12 years old now. He's about 5'8 right now at 12 years old, right? He's always been in like the 95th to the 99th percentile for height. So I think it was just kind of a shock to my system. So I ended up getting preeclampsia. I had to go on bed rest after I delivered. My delivery wasn't all that great. And then I had a little bout of postpartum depression. So I decided not to return to work. So I thought, okay, I'll stay out of work for about a year and then I'll get back into it. Well, little did I know how hard it was going to be to get back in just from being gone for a year, you know? So with that, I know I took a roundabout way to get to the professional organizing, but that's when I decided to become a professional organizer because I had trouble getting back into the media industry. The media industry isn't by any means an easy field to break into. You typically would have to go to a small market and then work your way up from there. So, you know, my husband was working at CNN, you know, at the time. At that point, I think he was working on, he's a senior producer now, but I think at that point he was like an associate producer for some show or something along those lines. And I couldn't just leave, right? So at this point, I'm in Atlanta. I'm here now. You know, I have a baby. My husband's career is here. I have to figure out what I'm going to do. So we previously hired a professional organizer for my mother. And I always tell people my mom is my biggest client, but we hired a professional organizer for my mom. And my sister said, why don't you start a professional organizing business? Because we hired this lady and she did this and you do this stuff all the time. So just turn it into a business. And then the light bulb went on off in my head. And I was like, oh, you're right. I can turn this into a business. So I was a little like nervous at first, but you know, I did my research. I found a mentor, turned it into a business, and the rest is history.
That's some great history. Listen, I'm glad you took the long, like you just gave me so much to work with in that intro. Like you left us with this, that somebody just said, hey, you're good at this. You're better than these people we're paying. Why don't you try? I think a lot of people get stuck right there. You know, they actually have something they do very well, but they just never think, hey, I could go do this and make a living off of it because they consider I'm good at it or I have the skill set. So that was something. But thinking about that difficult pregnancy and then you went on and had more kids, like, man.
Well, we have two. You know, after that first one, I was like, I don't want to do it again. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I'm the fifth of eight children and I realized the value of sibling relationship. So I'm like, okay, I'll only do it one more time and I'm done. So I did it one more time. Luckily, that pregnancy wasn't as bad. Still wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as the first. And the delivery was much smoother. So it was worth it.
Okay, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay, I'm ready.
What are your high points in being a professional organization and your low point in being a professional organizer?
Okay, so the high points. I think I would say the high point for me would be helping other organizers along the way. I didn't realize how... I'll say this industry is dominated by white women, right?
Absolutely.
Middle-aged white women. Mm-hmm. And when I came into the industry, there were not a lot. It wasn't like prevalent. There weren't a lot of organizers that looked like me. Now, I was lucky to find a mentor that looked exactly like me, though. She looked just like me. Freckles, everything. Okay. And yeah, you know, I got lucky. When I met her, she was like, oh, my freckle sister. And I'm like, what in the world is this? You know, you rarely meet other people with freckles besides people in my family, you know. But I met this woman and I'm like, okay, this might be a kismet moment, you know, this might be meant to be. So she was very open with how the industry was and very transparent apparent in the lack of diversity within the industry and some of the things, you know, that she's dealt with. And she was just really like helpful with letting me come on jobs with her and, you know, things of that nature. And, but, you know, as I, she and I, we fell out of touch, you know, throughout the years, but as I like moved on and started doing my own business, I realized that that community within your area of expertise is important. Like it's so vital to have people that you can bounce ideas off of, that you can ask about their experiences, that you can get advice from. And we didn't have that. So throughout my career, I'd say it was still kind of early on, maybe 5 years of being a professional organizer. Two years in, I decided to create a Facebook group for women of color who were professional organizers. From this group.
Look at you getting ahead of me. Go on and answer that question I was going to ask.
Okay. From this group came the National Association of Black Professional Organizers. And it was something that was needed. I think I knew it was needed. I didn't know how to go about it at the time. But I knew that there had to be some sort of community for, you know, people of color, but Black women in particular, to, you know, to just have like a safe space to see ourselves. Because, you know, a lot of times people want to do something, and you mentioned it earlier, like they know they're good at it, but they stop right there. They don't like move forward with it for whatever reason. It could be the lack of seeing people that look like them, not having a proper mentor. I know I reached out to some white organizers and they weren't welcoming to me like the Black organizer was that I reached out to, you know? I tried to, you know, spark conversation, asked people, well, how much should I charge for that? Can I, you know, shadow you on one of your jobs and this and that? And it was a beat around the bush kind of, oh, just join this organization kind of thing. Whereas the Black woman was like, meet me here, we'll meet for coffee, we'll talk, and then you can come with me on this job. And, you know, so I think that is important. And so that is what I would say is my high, like starting the National Association of Black Professional Organizers.
Absolutely.
You know, that's definitely a high point. Now the lows, I would say, you know, the pandemic, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. I wasn't going into anyone's house, you know, during the pandemic. And, you know, so if you're not going into people's houses, then you're not really making money. I attempted virtual organizing, but it just wasn't my thing. You
know? I asked her about this right before we started recording. She's like, nope, don't do it. Yeah. Not for me.
It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. Now, there are a lot of people who do virtual organizing and they excel at that. That's not my strong area. So I would definitely say the pandemic was the low.
Got it. And you know what? I was so excited. We just jumped into the questions. So for the people that are watching and listening, can you give us like just a high level explanation of what actually you do as a professional organizer?
All right. So as a professional organizer, I basically help people create systems to keep their lives in order. That's essentially what it is. I typically do in-home organizing and I specialize in design. So I am the person that will go into your closet and have the wire shelving removed and put up a closet where, you have a hamper and you have drawers and you have long hang and short hanging space and you have accessories storage. You know, I am the person that will create space for all the things that you have. But there are other, you know, parts of it as well, where it's not just the design portion. I can go in and, you know, remove everything out of a pantry and put things back in neatly. You know, if you can afford the product, I like to house things in product. If you can't, I just, you know, kind of try to do it like you would see in a grocery store, I'd say, you know, how things are, they're not in containers, but things are lined up, right? So it's like, you know, storing like items together. So I help people create systems, whether it's a junk drawer, a garage, an office, a kid's room, you know, But I help people to get systems in place so they can simplify their lives and just, you know, make things easier for them at home.
And that's awesome. Listen, when I tell you the light was flashing in my eyes when you talked about the closet stuff, like the Excel, that's what I need. I just need to change that thing up so it's functional. Because walking back and forward, like, nah, this should all be self-contained. I don't like all this movement. It makes me not want to do certain things, and then that starts to complicate things, and then you get disorganized. So when you got that feng shui of motion, you
know. No, really, because when you think about it, your day, it starts and it ends in your closet, right? It starts because you're getting your clothes for the day, whatever, your shoes, whatever you have stored in there. And then it ends in your closet because you're taking your clothes off, you're putting it in the hamper or what have you, right? So the closet is actually the most important space to be organized in your home. And I also think it's important for people to know you don't have to stick with the closet that you were given when you purchased your home or rented your home or whatever it is that you have. You can change it up to where it works for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You said a word right there. Starts to be the Genesis and the Revelation happened right there in the closet. Yeah, for sure. So we talked about, you know, organizing. When we last met, we were talking about you just went to CNN and said, I'm going to get a job. You know, we got to, you know, you were going to be the next host of my favorite show, Midnight Love, all of those things. And I was definitely curious about, you know, and you went into it, and I'm glad you did, that you were able to tell the story of why you started the National Association of Black Professional Organizers, because we know why that needed to happen, but I think sometimes people need to know why we have to do this or why it's important that we do things like this. But, you know, as we go down the story of Naima and organization, so how did Organize Me Radio come along in that evolution?
Okay, so Organize Me Radio was getting back to my roots, okay? So getting back to, I still have that desire for media, right? That's still, I would say, my first love. I love media. I love radio and TV. I love all of it. It's just that, you know, now I've been so far removed from it. If I want to get back into it, I'm going to have to start from the bottom. And I'm not doing that. I'm 41. You know, like, I'm not doing that. Okay. Like,
no, be I'm grateful for 41. The early 40s are, yeah. I miss them.
You know, 40 is a whole vibe, okay? So it's just, I'm glad, I'm thankful to be here. But yeah, no, like I have no interest in starting from the bottom. So I thought, okay, I can mix, you know, what I'm doing professionally with what I love to do. So I thought, okay, why don't I just start a podcast about organizing? And I started the podcast in November of 2019. And I wasn't exactly sure how the flow was gonna be for me. So I did some kind of test like interviews, which they're all posted, you know. But, you know, trying to figure out how often I'm gonna do this, when I'm gonna do this, what days I'm gonna put it out. So, you know, playing with like logos and how I want the thumbnails to look and all that. So throughout, it has definitely evolved. But when I first started, I went to my fellow NABPO founders, the National Association of Black Professional Organizers, we call it NABPO, my fellow NABPO founders, and I interviewed them one-on-one. So I went to their space, I brought my audio equipment, and I interviewed them one-on-one, right? And then so It worked. Of course, there were some like technical issues in the beginning, but then the pandemic hit. So I had those episodes, and it was like, I think I maybe had like maybe 7 or 8 episodes, and then the pandemic hits, and then it's like, okay, what do I do now? But then I realized, oh, Zoom is actually a better option for whatever video chat you have is a better option, because now I'm able to reach out to other people around the country, around the world. You know, I had a guest who was in Brussels in Canada, you know, so you can really like extend your reach when it comes to that. So yeah, so I really just wanted to, you know, take my love for radio and then my love for organization and put the two together to hopefully help people become organized by listening to the different episodes.
Oh yeah, and y'all got to go check it out on YouTube and, you know, on all of the Spotify, Apple. Y'all got to check out Organize Me Radio. It's a vibe. Listen, I felt judged a little bit because it was like Organize Me, and I'm like, I don't know if I want it, but I tell you what, she's got that energy. She has some amazing guests on there. They talk about organizing all kinds of things. It's not just that your bedroom is dirty. It's a whole bunch of other stuff too. So y'all definitely got to go check that out. So no, I totally enjoy it. I think you've kind of gotten into it, but you know, I don't want to, you know, for this podcast, one of the things that I really like to talk about are some of the obstacles on the journey to doing this thing that is within you. So do you have a particular resiliency story, something that almost took you out besides the pregnancy?
You know, I will say, okay, so going back to pregnancy, when I was pregnant with my second son, my youngest son is 2.5 years younger than my oldest. And it seemed like immediately when I got pregnant with him, I was just exhausted. I couldn't go into people's homes because I was just tired. Like, this is a level of exhaustion I've never experienced in my life. I wasn't this tired with the first pregnancy. But I also had like a toddler to take care of. So I had a toddler to take care of. I'm extremely tired. I'm like, okay, great. I have my business. I've only had my business for, you know, maybe a couple years at this point. So it's like, okay, what can I do to make changes to it? And that's when I started my YouTube channel. Now, my YouTube channel is, you know, it's a little neglected. I post my,
it's hard. You can't be on all of these. It's hard.
Especially when you have children, you know? So, but that's when I started my YouTube channel and I started doing like organizing tutorials and things like that. It was a little hard to keep up with. I post all my podcasts on there now, so I'm always having like some sort of content on there. But you know, I would say that might've been a point where I really had to like figure it out. Like, am I going to do this organizing thing? I can't actually go into people's houses. So I'm not actually making money doing organizing at this point. But yeah, I just kind of like put that into YouTube. But I also think it kind of motivated me to want to do more media when it came to organizing. So, you know, contributing to, you know, articles in magazines, contributing to or being a guest on a show where you're giving organizing tips and things like that. So I have a few things. I'd like to do more of that, I think, but I have a few TV appearances that I've done. And then when it comes to like online, like magazines, oh my gosh, I've lost count of who I've contributed to, like what I've contributed to, but Washington Post, you know, Parent Magazine, Good Housekeeping, New York Times. Like, there are so many things that I've contributed to as a professional organizer, just giving people tips and things of that nature. So I would say that, you know, you're an entrepreneur, right? There are highs and there are lows. And that's just how it goes when you are an entrepreneur. Like, if you are working for yourself, there will be months where you make so much money, and then there'll be months where you don't make money at all, you know?
Facts. Yes.
So I think it's important to realize that, to know that going into it, but also make sure that your partner or whoever you have to take care of, whoever's in your family, is understanding of that. Luckily for me, I have a husband who's had a full-time job the entire time, right? So when there are times where, you know, I'm not bringing in anything, he can still hold it down for us. You know, it's a little tighter in those moments, but he can still hold it down for us.
Hey, so, teamwork makes the dream work. You know what I'm saying? Really, that's does. What it's supposed to be about.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm, definitely. Like, it's important to have like that partnership and kind of feed off of each other and, you know, knowing what each other's strengths are and things of that nature. So I definitely, you know, have to give him a shout out because he has been one of my biggest supporters.
That is awesome. You didn't already named a couple of people. So, but I still, again, I have to give this question as we start to ramp down, but what are your biggest, who are your biggest inspirations to your success and on this journey, period?
Yeah. I would definitely say my parents. I feel like, you know, growing up, when I was a kid, when I lived in Staten Island from like birth to whatever, 10 years old, I think my parents really set the foundation when it came to self-esteem and having confidence in myself and things of that nature. I always, you know, sometimes when I talk to like other like family members, like in-laws or my husband, they're always like, how are you so confident? And I'm like, listen, my parents built me up. They always let me know that I could do whatever I wanted to do. Even if I had a crazy idea and I said, I want to do this, they're like, great, you can do it, you know? And then like motivating me to do things like, oh, you should do this. So, you know, like my, like I mentioned, my dad recommended that I go work at CNN. And yeah, you know, it was never a question for him that I wasn't going to work at CNN. He knew okay, I could do it. I knew I could do it. So I was like, okay, Dad, I'm going to work at CNN. You know, my mom, whatever idea I have, my mom is always so supportive and she's always so excited about it. And she's always such a champion. So I think it's important to, you know, to have that, to lay that foundation. And like, if you have kids, lay that foundation for them. You never know what they'll do, but don't discourage them from doing anything. You know, let them know that whatever they believe, they can do it. And I think that's important. And I really, really credit my parents for giving me that self-confidence, giving me that self-esteem and just pouring love into me. I feel love from both my parents, even though, you know, their relationship didn't last very long, you know, and, you know, I'm far away from both of them. My dad's in Seattle, my mom's in Nebraska.
Wow.
Yeah. But I feel like I have, you know, a close relationship with both of them. And, I think they really led the way for me and, you know, some of my siblings. And I'm really appreciative for that.
That's amazing. That is amazing. You left Staten Island like right as Wu-Tang was blowing up, didn't you?
No, I really did, yeah.
So again, we definitely appreciate you coming on. But before you leave, we're not going to let you get out here without sharing with us your favorite motto or mantra and some parting thoughts for our listeners and our viewers.
All right. Okay, so when I moved from Nebraska to Atlanta, it was not easy. It was tough because I just came on a whim. So I graduated college. excuse me. I graduated college. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. I graduated with the summer class. So I graduated in August 2004. And that's when I did the play. You know, I have a on my podcast, I have an episode.
Raising in the Sun. Yeah.
I'm interviewing the guy who played Walter Lee, Vince Alston. And I played Benita Younger. So we were siblings in the play. So that's something that I did because I didn't know what else to do. I was like, I'll just do this play and that'll be fun. And then after that, then I'm like, okay, now what am I really gonna do? So I decided to, you know, I was thinking about Atlanta in the back of my mind. And on a whim, I said, hey, I'm going to Atlanta. So, you know, all my friends were taken by surprise. My family kind of saw it coming. But, you know, my sister and I were roommates and she was pregnant at the time. So, and I left. So, you know, in hindsight, I probably wouldn't have done it the way I did it, but I felt like I just had to get out of Omaha. I was like, I'm going, I'm taking this car. Which sibling's going to drive with me? So one of my other siblings drove with me to Atlanta. And man, let me tell you. So when I got there, I did not have a job lined up, but my aunt, she lives in the Atlanta area. She lives south of Atlanta. So my goal was to stay with her. I think I stayed with her for about 4 months. I did a lot of odd jobs. I was a substitute teacher. I worked at a group home. It was called a house parent. I was a house parent at 22 years old. I was a house parent for teenage boys who were basically in foster care, who were taken away from their parents from whatever reason. And it was kind of I struggled for it a little bit. I got the opportunity at CNN, maybe 10 months after I moved to Atlanta. So it came eventually, but it was such a struggle. So one of my sisters and I, we always talk about, you know, the things that you're going through and the setbacks that come, right? So my favorite thing to always keep in the back of my mind is a setback is just a setup for a comeback. And that's something that I think rings true throughout life. It has for me. You're gonna have your setbacks, but you just have to make sure to stick with it. You know, sometimes you know, we're on a path and it feels like this is the direction that we want to go in. And it feels like there's only one way to get there. But, you know, something comes and it diverts your path, right? So now you're going a different way, but you can still ultimately get to where you were trying to go. Sometimes you just have to go around, right? Sometimes the straight through isn't the easy path, right? Sometimes you have to go around and you have to go through all the bumps, all the potholes, the flat tires,
the loop-de-loops and exactly, all of that.
Like all of that to get to where you want to go. And so that's what I always tell people. Just don't let it discourage you. A setback is a setup for a comeback. Don't let your setbacks define you. Learn from them, but keep moving and you'll ultimately get to where you want to be.
My goodness, that word was for me. I'm on the verge of some things, and I was just like, today of all days, I needed to hear that. So aww. I was just sitting here like, what? For real? That's how you're going to do me? But I'm a thug, so, you know, ain't no tears going to come because I'm a certified thug, certified professional thug, CPT.
As you're looking all dapper in your suit.
But I just want to thank you again for what a way to kick off Women's History Month. And definitely, we need to get you on as many shows and as many, because you got, there's so much more to you than just the organizing is the amazing part, but the foundation, there's so much there. So, like, people need to hear your story. So, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us on the Help Myself podcast. Can you let the people know where they can find you?
Yes, John. Thank you so much for having me. I am so glad that I've had the opportunity to chat with you again. It was fun. Thank you so much. And you can find me through my website, restoreordernow.com. It takes you to my socials and my YouTube channel, all of that. So you can find me there.
Awesome. We're going to definitely put that on the screen. We're going to make sure that they hear that on all of the audio podcasts. But again, thank you so much for coming. And yeah, we're going to definitely watch your meteoric rise through all of the things. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, John.
Right here in these fly shirts in these internet streets. Some of y'all are even blessed enough to see me in the real streets with it, eh? And whether it's a shirt that says black on black fine or this, that premium chocolate or busy flourishing, one of my favorites, many things can be discounted. My worth isn't one of them. Or patiently waiting on someone's well-raised daughter. You know who keeps me fitted up? It's all about Merchandaire. Yep, Merchandaire, free-spirited apparel. They got a shirt or a hoodie that'll speak to your soul too. So let me tell you what to do. Just head on over to Merchandaire.com. That's M-E-R-C-H-A-N-A-I-R-E.com. Grab you some apparel that speaks to you and speaks for you. Merch Nair, baby. Didn't I tell you that that would be an amazing interview? Again, we want to thank Naima Ford-Golson for stopping by and blessing the Help Myself podcast. I know that that interview was amazing for me, and I certainly believe that it was amazing for you. So we're going to continue to put the spotlight on these amazing women that are doing amazing things, breaking through all of these barriers to be successful and inspirational. And I thank you for tuning in with us. And I'm going to close tonight like I always do. Listen, I can't help myself. Got to inspire, got to encourage, I've got to empower. But I can help myself by being the absolute best version of myself. And guess what? You can too.